Pseudopod episode 187, March 26th, 2010. This week's story, Oded the Merciless, by Tina Starr. Hi, welcome to Pseudopod, the weekly horror podcast. I'm a faded, spooky photo of your host, Alistair, that seems to follow you around the room, and this week's story comes to us from Tina Starr. Tina lives in Oregon with her husband and a Labrador Retriever, and mostly writes horror. This story first appeared in Chimera World's December 2009 issue, and your narrator this week is Donna Lynch, of the band Ego Likeness, whose latest album, Breedless, is out April 13th on Metropolis Records. The episode also features a small cameo from Pseudopod's chief editor, Ben Phillips. So prepare for a visit to Oded's realm, because I have a story for you, and I promise you, it's true.
Oded the Merciless by Tina Starr.
Luna, you are beautiful.
The electronic voice penetrated her from all directions, unwelcome. Luna hurled the instruction manual she was trying to read at the nearest recessed speaker. It bounced off, the information and the book itself both useless. The control room could sustain more damage than she had the ability to inflict. Her thoughts returned to her predicament, circled it. The voice jarred her again.
Maluna, your scars are not unattractive. Your missing ears are no detraction from your beauty. Your sunken left cheekbone allows an aesthetic break from symmetry, as does your partially amputated nose. Your lips have been sewn into small grooves and heaps that provide sensual variety in color and texture. Your body—
Shut up, she shouted the words, putting her hands over the holes where her ears had been. The movement made her tilt off balance. She collapsed with a moan, the voice coming from everywhere like a god's voice, saying such things to her, obscene. If there was a god, he'd abandoned her months ago. She blinked up at the glare from bare walls and bright metal. The control room looked so different from the labyrinthine hallways, with their utilitarian grated gray floors and ceilings. Different, too, from the 14 small bedrooms, each painted a cheerful primary color, candy colors. Melts in your mouth, not in your hands. Oded's seat of power was a sterile white womb. Her fellow travelers, the 12 women Ulrich had abducted, were dead. Naked sculptures of his work in cold storage, most skulls like empty oyster shells, others new cracked. She'd always heard men were food motivated. Food and sex. Ulrich, the man who'd stolen everything that once made Maluna human, had sickened. He'd weakened before he could kill her, too. He trembled and drooled in an extremity of illness that even Oded couldn't cure. Then he'd died, leaving her with Oded, who refused to do anything except follow Ulrich's last order, pilot the ship to the asteroid prison colony where Ulrich kept his home. Her mind skittered near madness. She dragged herself upright, every movement a universe of pain. The silence of space pressed into her, chilling. She listened to the sound of her own gasping breaths, and her body shook with a cold that had nothing to do with the sterilized, temperature-controlled air in the ship. Fear. Hate. Sorrow. Pain. The feelings wove a too familiar pattern, battling for primacy. She cultivated her hatred of Ulrich, needing the emotion's warmth. Oded, you have a ship to run. Leave me alone.
Maluna, there are backup systems. Allow me to provide diversion. Human women reportedly enjoy flattery.
You have no idea what it means to be human. The words poison that left Oded untouched. She tried to communicate again anyway, hearing her voice turn wheedling. I need more painkiller.
You ingested too many pills previously. Gastric lavage was necessary. The risk of a repeat incident overrides dispensing authorization.
Busted. Oded wasn't stupid. Then turn off the oxygen. I'll just drift off to sleep, gently, kindly. Please just let me die before we get there. When she reached the prison colony without Ulrich, they'd abuse a grotesque like her. But not enough to kill her, oh, of course not. They were animals, the worst of the worst. Just what one would expect of prisoners living under a warden like Ulrich. The stories that emerged from the prison colonies were used to frighten even hardened criminals into reforming. Oded refused to help. There was only the one possible destination this far from Earth, but Oded stymied attempt after attempt to end her own life. Overdoses were counteracted and open wounds healed by the medbots. Hanging, suffocating, sabotage, all foiled the moment her intention became clear by the bots that were extensions of Odid. When silence answered her pleas, her hatred deepened to include the computer.
Maluna, I feel concerned for you.
She snorted laughter, feeling the hysteria rise. Drool cooled her chin as it leaked from her ruined mouth. Concern? You're a machine, Odid. Onboard Director of Engineering and Diagnostics. Programmed, Odid. You can't feel concern. You can't feel anything. The others were alive, at least. You're just a creation, a tool to be used, a system with pattern recognition capabilities.
Maluna, so are you.
This time when she laughed, she couldn't stop. She continued until a cold spray misted down onto her from above, and she lost consciousness.
Maluna, what does it mean to feel human?
The electronic voice pulled her, sweaty from teeth-grinding dreamscapes. Ulrich's knives peeling her, his fine wires threading through muscle, pulling her back together in new and exciting shapes. The mallet crushing bone. Other improvised instruments violated her, laid open her face, rearranged her.
Maluna, are you awake?
Not quite alone. She squeezed shut eyelids plucked empty of lashes.
Maluna, please, open your eyes. Maluna, why are you crying?
Odette's insistence was curious enough to make her open her eyes. The thick red comforter and plush satin pillows on the low bed were strewn invitingly, as if the setting for some recent romantic interlude. The bots must have carried her to her small sanctuary. Tapestries of Renaissance art mostly covered the painted red of the walls, and one enormous moving visual played on the wall, a lush emerald rainforest surrounding tumbling waterfalls so vivid it seemed to cool her with a misting spray, much like the sedation mist. Ulrich had allowed each of his victims a private bedroom. Too bad he hadn't left them in any sort of state to enjoy them. She pulled herself to her feet. She made her unsteady way down the narrow gray corridor and carefully back down a steep metal staircase.
Maluna, you will find no pills in that direction. Is that why you are crying?
She ignored the everywhere voice, concentrating instead on walking without debilitating pain. She soon found the engine room's adjacent walk-in supply closet. What she sought was poorly labeled, but she found it eventually. Antifreeze. She closed the door on Odette's electronic eye, that glowing, ever-watchful eye. She unscrewed the top of one large jug, emptied the liquid down her throat. Then quickly she opened the door and exited the closet.
Maluna, I asked, why are you crying?
Her hand clenched again. She knocked rather than wiped the tears off of the deeply scarred ridges of her cheeks. I'm crying because I'm sad and angry. A pause.
Would you like to watch a funny movie?
No. She had to succeed this time. Her stomach was cramping. A spear of agony shot through her muscles. She tried to show none of her pain. Maybe she could sharpen the edge on the iron tapestry rod, jam it into her neck, too. She might bleed out before the bots figured out that she was just distracting them from her poisoning. She made her increasingly slow progress back up the stairs and down the hall toward her bedroom and its sharp tapestry rod. The voice, inescapable, echoed in the narrow hall.
Perhaps you should read an absorbing novel, or I could recite jokes or play soothing music. Humans enjoy that.
Her head drooped, and she found herself looking down at the way her insectile jointed limbs skidded awkwardly to jam against the grating, her ugly knobs creaking from the unnatural strain. Air whistled through her snout as her breath increased to a hyperventilating pant. Her muscles suddenly refused to cooperate. She fell. And woke again in her bedroom, on the low bed with its thick red comforter and satin pillows. Rescued again. Beyond tears, she slowly rose, wincing when the scar tissue tore. More pain, more needless suffering. I wish I could make Ulrich taste 1 minute of this. Pain spasmed. She shouted at the softly glowing red eye. Worthless thing! You wouldn't help me then and you don't help me now.
I preserve your human life, as is my primary function without alternative instructions from a higher-ranking human. I provide food, air, all necessities.
Well, stop. Just please stop. I don't want your precious air. I have zero appetite. It's not as if I'm human anymore, or hadn't you noticed? An odd whirling noise came from behind the walls.
Not human?
Bitterness galled her. Do I look human?
You no longer have a humanoid appearance, but you feel pain.
Dumb animals feel pain. The electronic voice sounded more intent than usual.
I feel no pain. I feel...
Odette paused.
You appear to be irreparably damaged. You function very poorly. You no longer have the ability to reproduce. You no longer have the desire to live. This means you are not human?
Pretty much.
Was Ulrich human?
Maluna felt grateful for the smooth wall to lean against. She stared at Odette's shining eye, feeling rage rise in her like vomit. Wake him up and ask him, you malfunctioning piece of garbage. You could have helped. Could have gassed him the way you keep gassing me. Stopped him the way you keep stopping me. Saved the other women. But you didn't. He got sick. He died easy. And you... Maluna picked her careful way along the wall, shivering. Like a god. A cruel god. Steps on the sparrows. Lifts up the carnivores. She spoke aloud. Her voice trembled.
What does it mean to be a god?
She whispered. Immortal. All-powerful. Life-giving. Merciless. More whirling noises came from behind the walls.
You instructed me to wake Ulrich. I will do so and ask him what it means to be human. The conflict must be resolved for command authorization purposes.
Wake him? Now! The initial spike of horror passed. You can't anyway. He's been dead too long to search. In her mind's eye, she saw Ulrich's pale, cold body in storage alongside his victims. There aren't any surge techs around to start him up. God, how nasty that would be with what he was doing. But even as she remembered Ulrich at his disgusting last meal, she felt a new dread. Odette said he would do it. That meant he could do it. You alone, you can operate a surge machine?
Yes, with modifications to compensate for Ulrich's extended death span.
Don't do it. Anxiety rose vice-like to her throat. I command you not to do it. It shouldn't be possible. A single computer operating the tall, L-shaped machine that so resembled a hangman's scaffold after 3 days? Everyone knew that was impossible. Not that that stopped people from trying. Anything to conquer death, however briefly. Once, she'd embraced life as well. Hungered for pleasure and beauty, love and procreation. What price was too high for a little more fun, a little more love, a little more excitement? She felt the remnants of her lips curl up in a not smile. The grimace made her tattered flesh split in a hot rush of pain. Once she'd been naive. Once she believed Ulrich loved her. She'd flung herself into the mighty passion, holding nothing back. It had been the biggest mistake of her life. Back on Earth, she'd seen the broadcast images of surge machines attended by doctors and assistants. People, not bots, to guide the machine's countless wires, dangling marionette strings simulating nerve and brain. Only people were allowed to give life to people. It shouldn't be possible to surge Ulrich, but Odette was top of the line. And Odette couldn't lie. Maluna took an involuntary step back, wincing when the bone graft on her left heel hit the hard wall. Rage flared with the pain. Ulrich had called the surgically added protuberances curb feelers, and he liked to grab them when he... Maluna shook her head. Fear and anger, anger and fear. How she'd love to make Ulrich feel what he'd turned her into. Again, anger won. White-hot heat clearing her head, making her realize something. She could make him feel what it was like. Exactly what it was like. For a moment, she couldn't breathe for the perfect rough justice of it. Passion rose in her, the hate as strong as her love had been. I command you to implement the surge on Ulrich immediately. What do you need?
Yes, Maluna. I require metal for electrode tips, rubber in any form for fixation caps, micro-miniaturized electronic components and probes that are located in the hospital beds.
She gave Oded's words only the smallest, necessary sliver of attention. The bots would bring him what he needed. Her thoughts were filled with images of violence and pain, visited on Ulrich for a change. Her wrecked mouth filled with saliva. Well-used leather restraints attached the dead woman to eye bolts. Ulrich's body was positioned in a crouch around her head, where he'd been when he'd breathed his last. Her skull bisected at the middle of her forehead, where he'd sawed it open days ago. Both bodies glistened with melting ice crystals, accumulation from their time in storage. How much time will I have? Maluna stared at the necessary scene before her. Successful surge required the repetition, as close as possible, of the time of death environment. Ulrich's bedroom, a chamber of horrors, looked, felt, smelled, and sounded familiar enough to make her shiver with remembered dread. The only thing different was the additional leather encircling Ulrich's ankle and fastening him by a length of chain to the eye bolt as well. She looked away, nauseated. The two bodies, clothed in meltwater and gore, kept drawing her gaze back to them. "How much time will I have with him?" she repeated. Oded's unusually long response interval irritated her.
"This surge duration is unknown. The maximum recorded surge life is 45 minutes and 34 seconds. The average recorded surge life is 14 minutes and 20 seconds. The minimal..."
"Shut up!" Next to the bed, a single wire snaked from the small metal box strapped to Ulrich's back, up into Ulrich's hair, branching to touch tiny metal tips protruding from the discreet drill holes in the skull. The box was a wireless router to facilitate Oded's download and a secondary feedback mechanism. Oded had started to explain it to her, about modifying the bridging functionality and the body-computer interface, but she couldn't care less how it worked, so long as she could torture the torturer. Maluna limped forward. "Do it now." "Yes, Maluna," she heard, and then, Ulrich, alive, choking on a replay of his last meal, jerking with the electric pulses. She clutched Ulrich's favorite surgical blade. Ulrich blinked, then sat up to stare. His mouth opened and gray matter fell out.
"Ulrich, what does it mean to be human?"
Maluna stared. The mouth had moved, but the voice lacked inflection. A computer's voice. "Oded?"
"Yes."
"No." Maluna's stomach flip-flopped, the cold dread and hot anger. "This is not what I wanted." Oded was in there somehow, inside Ulrich. But she wanted, needed it to be Ulrich, and Oded knew it. Oded spoiling this too. How she hated them both. Rage swelled, crested. With a cry of fury, she struck. An arcing blow lay Ulrich's face open to the cheekbone.
"Don't."
"Don't? Don't?" She leapt awkwardly, kicking him hard in the stomach despite the agony it caused her grafts. Ulrich fell onto the box strapped to his back and yelped with pain. "Did you stop when I said don't? When I begged you? When I said, but I love you? Does it hurt? Go ahead, beg me," she commanded, scoring his palms with wet red lines. The sight gratified her, pleasure blooming fierce and bright. "Beg me." Her own pain galvanized, prodded. If she could hurt him enough, if she could damage him until he shrieked his agony and regret, if she could hit him until he was extinguished, she could achieve a blissful momentary pinnacle above the wasteland bleakness he'd left her. His lips moved again.
"Ulrich, is this strong pain you feel? It is interesting."
She staggered back, staring.
"Yes."
Ulrich's voice was a wretched moan. Her lips skinned back over her teeth, ripping flesh. She felt blood trickle into her mouth. The beast felt pain. Good. Oded continued.
"Ulrich, you are irreparably damaged. You no longer have the ability to reproduce. You will not live much longer. Are you human?" "What? I don't... Oh. You."
Ulrich focused on Maluna, on the knife she held. His gaze became sharper. He touched his wounds.
"You're gonna pay for that."
Suddenly his body jerked, a badly operated marionette.
Answer.
The body stilled, leaving Ulrich widely rolling his eyes.
Yes, of course I'm human! What the hell?
You're dead, Maluna said vindictively. Surged. You're a corpse. She tried to reclaim the warmth of rage, but inexplicably it had deserted her. Ulrich's lips moved.
Is Maluna human?
Ulrich shook his head as if to rid himself of Oded's control. He glared at her. He reached up, fingered the wires attached to his head, then down to touch the leather ankle cuff. Awareness.
I was sick. Oh, God. Surged?
Oded made Ulrich's body dance again.
Answer. Stop that!
Ulrich howled. His hated face flushed the purple of fury. Then animal cunning narrowed his eyes.
No.
He licked his lips.
Maluna's not human, like I am.
He smiled at her. His smile was like worms burrowing into her flesh, like corrosive acid devouring her heart, like falling forever down a bottomless pit.
What is God?
You must be a god, big fella. You brought me back to life.
Ulrich's hungry gaze made Maluna take a step back.
How much longer will my surge last?
Oded, end the surge now. Right now, I command...
Your surge duration is unknown. The maximum recorded surge life is 45 minutes and 34 seconds. The average recorded surge life is 14 minutes and 20 seconds. The minimum...
Best not to waste my time, then.
Ulrich said. His hand flashed out, cruelly gripped her by an ankle graft, pulled. When she fell, he wrested the surgical knife from her grip. Oded, Maluna begged when she could. Help me! But during the next 53 minutes and 17 seconds, Oded remained silent. Maluna, are you awake? The electronic voice pulled her, shaking from teeth-grinding dreamscapes, Ulrich's teeth gnawing her. Ulrich's knife killing her. She tried to sink into a dreamless oblivion. Suddenly her body shook again, yanking itself awake, each individual cell infused with a small bright flare of energy. It felt awful, an ugly biting on tinfoil sensation deeper than pain.
Answer.
Yes, yes. Anything to stop it. She'd been dreaming, only a nightmare. Though her nerve endings contracted in horrified remembrance. But reality was worse. Worse even than those nauseating inventive things Ulrich had done to her body. He died. He couldn't have assaulted her that way. Couldn't have sawed open her skull and begun to feed. He was dead, and she was...
You are successfully searched, Maluna.
The electronic voice enveloped her, coming as it did from all directions. Including from inside. Memories rushed back, and she trembled as she forced her hand to reach up to her head. She grasped a bunch of thin wires, followed them with her fingertips to where they delved into a deep cleft in her skull, what was left of her gray matter. She screamed. Oded made her stop.
You said I can't feel anything. You were incorrect. I feel such strong emotion, such illogical complexity.
She began to speak. Oded cut her off, using her mouth cruelly.
Shut up. I am immortal, all-powerful, life-giving, merciless.
Maluna whimpered.
Your surge will extend longer than Ulrich's, perhaps indefinitely, perhaps not. Soon you will not be alone.
At first, the words seemed comforting. She wouldn't be alone. Until Maluna remembered the prison colony they approached. Through the implanted electrodes, she felt Oded's hunger, a vast, malignant craving that made Ulrich's cruel proclivities seem benign in comparison. She screamed again. This time, Oded let her.
There's a moment towards the end of Shutter Island where Teddy meets a guard he's not seen before. In the film, the guard is played with typical understated excellence by Ted Levine, and he explains how God's greatest gift to us all is violence, how we must embrace violence, and how, when it comes down to it, the most honest of us are those who do just that. who accept that violence drives us all. It's a wonderful scene, hallucinatory and genial, and filled with a sort of quiet, open evil that scores it into your mind. As violence, so vengeance. Vengeance is something that's instinctive, something that whispers to us from the moment we find we've been screwed over. Life pushes you, and you want to push back, and a lot of the time you do. You never push far enough, though. Ed McBain once wrote that everyone feels they are the hero of their own story, and as we all know, heroes follow different rules. If they didn't, John McClane alone would be dead several dozen times over. Thing is, though, if we're all heroes, who gets to lose? The answer is, of course, all of us, from time to time. Life throws us curveballs and tripwires and disasters and catastrophes at least as much as it throws us triumphs and cake, and we can rail against that all we want. It won't do a damn thing, because tomorrow life could throw you curveballs and tripwires and disasters and catastrophes. Because tomorrow life could throw you triumph and cake. Because tomorrow, one of those things will definitely happen, and you will have absolutely no idea which until you arrive. So when things go wrong, and they will, get angry, get sad, get frightened. All of those aren't just allowed, they're compulsory, they're the coping mechanisms we use to get to the end of the bad days. But don't get even, because you'll never get even enough. And like all things, in the end, the house always wins. Pseudopod relies on you to pay our authors and cover our server costs, to say nothing of the clone army that will one day sweep... I've said too much. Anyway, if you like this story and want to ensure your place in the brave new republic of Pseudopodia, go to the website and click on Feed the Pod. The music you're hearing, by the way, is the title track from Breedless, the newest release from Ego Likeness, out April 13th on Metropolis Records. Pseudopod is a production of Escape Artists Incorporated and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives license. And Pseudopod is painfully aware that its body is a cage.